On a Thursday, it is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're exploring how to quit a job the right way. No bad blood, no burned bridges. A departure that is well-timed, well-executed with a plan. So lots of people have had exit strategy on the brain. Last year, the government's so-called quits rate soared. More than 4.4 million Americans quit their jobs last August, record-breaking in the Bureau of Labor Statistics data. What questions do you have about how to quit? Have you gone through this recently? How did it go for you? Did you leave a positive impression? Do you feel better or worse? We're at 800-642-1234. Yuki Noguchi is an NPR business correspondent, and she's been reporting on the right way to quit your job for NPR's Life Kit series. And she joins us from NPR studios in Washington. Yuki, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's nice to be here.
So quitting a job is a deeply personal, very individual decision. But what are some of the more common reasons why people quit?
Well, one of them is, you know, these days you have a good economy, and you just mentioned the quits rates being high. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities, so that's obviously one reason why someone might quit. But the one thing that I have heard sort of throughout my years of covering the workplace is this sort of adage that a person doesn't quit a job, they quit a manager. So, you know, that is a very common reason also why people quit. It's why people feel unhappy at work, is they just don't, you know, see eye to eye with their manager, or they have some sort of workplace relationship that isn't working out. So that's a very common reason why people actually end up pulling the cord.
You mean it's more about relationships than anything else, that there is perhaps some tension between the boss and the worker that is can't be reconciled?
Well, I think it's, like, as you said, very individual, but I think that there are sort of emotional reasons why people quit, and then there are practical reasons why people quit. You know, I mean, if you have a better opportunity, more money, a better schedule, those kinds of things can also, you know, drive people on the positive side. But on the negative side, I think some people, you know, are motivated to quit because they just don't feel happy, or perhaps they don't feel that they're getting the opportunities they want, or they don't look around and see, you know, I want that person's job, you know, and so that job has run its course for them.
You talked with JT O'Donnell, who is the founder of the career coaching site Work It Daily, about bad management and this issue. Let's hear just a bit from the podcast.
The manager is in charge of your job, is telling you what to do. Those are your tasks. That's the person you report to. So it makes sense that the majority of complaints would be around that.
And so she told you just that the majority of complaints is about the manager and that worker, that employee.
Yeah, I mean, that's the person you interface with the most. They have the most power over what you do or you can't do. It makes a lot of sense, right? Like, if you can't see eye to eye with your manager, if you don't feel like they have your back, that's going to be a daily sort of frustration for you. A lot of people would prefer not to do that. And in today's economy, you feel like you have that option. There are a lot of employers looking for work. I mean, for workers, rather. So there's a high demand for workers, and there are just a lot more options. So I think, you know, as opposed to a recession where you might have to keep your job because you need to keep those benefits and you're not sure whether the next job comes around, in an economy like this one where the unemployment rate is so low, you know, workers feel more confident that they'll find another opportunity.
We're talking with Yuki Noguchi. She is an NPR business correspondent, and we're looking at her recent reporting on the way to quit your job for the Life Kit podcast from NPR. You can join in. Have you ever quit a job and had the experience work out well? When have you quit a job and walked away wishing you had done something differently? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Yuki, you talked with HR and career consultants in your reporting on the timeline, on a plan. How do you start putting together a plan? This is not something that just happens overnight that you decide to quit.
Well, ideally, it's not something that you do overnight. But, you know, I think the timing of when you should start planning, or when you should start really thinking concretely about, you know, how to quit your job is probably earlier than most people think. And that's something I learned in my reporting is, you know, the advice is that as soon as you have this inkling that the job is not quite the right fit for you, whether it's, you know, your relationship with your manager or the fact that there's no headroom perhaps in the job, you know, there's no one you look out and across your organization and say, you know, I aspire to have that person's job. You know, whenever it is that you have that sense, that is when you should start planning your exit. And so that's earlier than a lot of people do. And that's one of the mistakes that I think some people make is they allow these feelings to sort of fester and grow, at which point they become emotional. And that's not a good time. It's not actually, even though it is a deeply emotional process, you want to kind of avoid getting overly emotional about the process or angry. And so I think that's an interesting point, is that's the time when you should start planning to quit. And there's a lot to plan.
A lot to plan, including how much money you should have set aside.
Right. And that's another thing that I think is probably sobering for people. I mean, ideally, the job coach told me, you know, 9 months to a year of savings, because typically that's how long it takes to find a job. Now, these days, it might take a little less than that. And of course, a lot of people don't have those kinds of savings. So, but the financial plan is really about knowing kind of what your household burn rate is, you know, how much you spend on rent and food and other sort of fixed costs, and then trying to reduce those at the same time. So if you're trying to save up so that you can quit your job and have a little bit of runway, then you might consider selling off things that you don't need or downsizing your life, you know, getting a smaller place, something like that. But also, you know, keeping in mind that you don't want to quit your job until you really ideally have something lined up or at least a very firm plan.
A very firm plan, yeah. Let's take a call. Patrick is joining us in Wisconsin Dells this morning. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, hi. Yeah, there's also, you know, the dislocated worker. I was a director, program manager of a company that has been bought out several times. Finally, they've released a staff. You know, I have a mechanical engineering degree and an MBA. And guess what? I'm driving a semi-truck right now. I've applied for factory jobs, quality jobs, other engineering jobs. Once you reach a certain level of education, I don't know what the flag is out here, but they won't touch you.
Oh.
They tell you you're not gonna be happy, and so here I am. But truck driving is in high demand, and I hate this job. Actually, I really need it. And you're 9 months to a year, absolutely. And I totally agree with downsizing. I've done all that, continue to do that. That's the only way that I'm going to make it until I make that next move, and that'll be relocation. So, yeah, interesting topic, and, you know, a lot of us are loving it. You know what? The job that's a good fit, actually, I'm here out of necessity. So,
Patrick, thank you so much for sharing your story. And NPR correspondent Yuki Noguchi is with us. She'll be able to respond to Patrick's situation here in a moment. We are talking about quitting a job, finding a new one. Have you gone through the process of cutting ties? Did you save up enough money before your last paycheck? How did you handle telling your boss and coworkers? What questions do you have about the process? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with NPR's Yuki Noguchi right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about how to quit a job with the proper grace and closure, how to leave on a positive note. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Our country is experiencing a tight labor market. Most recent figures from the Bureau of Labor Statistics indicate that there are roughly 6.8 million job openings in the U.S., unemployment rate hovering at about 3.6%. And the way that workers can significantly increase their earnings in the current labor market is to quit and then take a new job. So do you feel you can afford to quit your job? Have you thought about quitting for a long time? What do you want to know about how to pave the way for this transition? Share your story, your questions, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. NPR business correspondent Yuki Noguchi stays with us for the hour. Yuki, we just heard Patrick's story there from Wisconsin Dells, a truck driver. And even in the super tight labor market, you know, someone there with an MBA and an engineering degree can still have a lot of difficulty finding the right job.
Yeah, so our podcast focused on how to quit a job. But of course, that sort of suggests a level of control. And what Patrick mentioned was that, you know, his company, he basically got laid off. They were bought out and he was laid off. And so there are obviously still people who are displaced by, you know, sort of larger business decisions that aren't theirs. And so I think, you know, he also mentioned a couple of other things. He mentioned, you know, sort of finding the right fit is a difficult thing. And you know, if you're a qualified worker with, you know, he mentioned he has an MBA, you know, I think that can, at the same time that we hear employers say, you know, we have a hard time finding qualified workers, I think there is still this issue, this challenge of finding fit. I mean, he mentioned sort of moving for opportunities. And that's, of course, very difficult from the worker's perspective because you're moving potentially to a market that where you don't have those professional contacts.
And that social that network and those connections are so vitally important. Yeah,
exactly. And we will talk about that in a second. But I think, you know, the other component here is that, you know, one thing I've heard a lot, you know, through recessions and through the recovery is that older workers often find that it's difficult to find jobs as well. And partly because, you know, they might be more on the expensive side of the or more experienced and so therefore more expensive from the employer's perspective. Demanding a higher salary. And, you know, so finding the right fit is, I think, still a perennial challenge, at which Patrick alluded to. And, you know, another thing that I've sort of read about is that, you know, a lot of workers are not as mobile. You know, like a generation ago, people were more willing to move for a job. And, you know, the younger generation in particular is showing that they choose where they live and then they find work where they are. So, you know, a lot of these things are changing. Just because the labor market is down doesn't mean it's easy for an individual to find a fit in the market that they're in.
We're talking with Yuki Noguchi. She's an NPR business correspondent, and we're looking at her recent reporting on the right way to quit your job, and it was in NPR's Life Kit podcast. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Are you thinking of quitting your job? Have you thought about your next steps? Are you advising a family member or friend in the process? What's that like? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Cindy now in Appleton. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning. Well, you had used a term earlier when you were talking about managers having power over you. And I think that's one of the reasons why so many people are not happy at their jobs, because we are not empowered as employees anymore. We are basically powered over. And I really think when somebody leaves a job, there's no reason they can't tell their supervisor or whoever they're leaving to or the HR that they didn't feel valued. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people leave. And that's one of the reasons I left my job. Thankfully, I was at the age I could take early retirement.
Cindy, thanks for the call. And Yuki, I recall you talked with an oncology nurse who maybe had some similar sentiment.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one of the more difficult things, I mean, that Cindy just talked about is sort of this idea of what do you say when you leave, you know, I mean, how do you handle the actual quitting process, you know, do you still need to give 2 weeks of notice, and how do you take leave in a way that makes, you know, you feel good that you've done the right thing and that doesn't hurt you. And I think this is a major focus of our podcast. You know, one of the things that is tempting to do is, you know, be emotional in the process and sort of use that exit interview to lay out all your grievances against individuals that you worked with, perhaps, or, you know, complain about the circumstances that led you to leave. But, you know, one thing to keep in mind is that this could hurt you, right? This goes into your HR file. So in the future, if you should ever want to return to that company for some reason, or if you end up, you know, having your file pulled because, you know, the future employer wants to know what was in, you know, like what your recommendation was and those kinds of things, you know, your employer might refer back to that, and that's in your record. So one thing to keep in mind is, you know, to keep the conversation focused on these are the things that would have helped me in this job. These are the things that I wish could have been done differently, would have helped me do my job better. So keeping the focus on sort of positive sort of circumstances, you know, sort of positive criticisms that might have helped you in your work.
But the exit interview isn't a time to
interview.
Just divulge.
It's not
all
a time to dish about
then.
Your colleagues. Yes, exactly. There are some nightmarish stories that I've heard about that, but. You know, the other thing is, you know, in terms of like how you preserve that network, right? For most of us, you know, even if we don't like the job, often people like at least some of their colleagues that they work with. They have friends there, they have relationships there. And so the question is, how do you carry that forward in a positive way? You know, keeping in mind that these are people you might actually run into if you stay in the industry. So one of the pieces of advice that I thought was interesting is, you know, when you leave, make sure that you sort of consult with your sort of outgoing employer and say, you know, what can I do to make this transition easier for you? Like, can I train my replacement? Should I write a memo so that the person who is replacing me will know kind of how I did my job? You know, leaving recommendations, say, on LinkedIn for your own colleagues that you worked with. Without them asking for it. And that might inspire them to write recommendations for you about, you know, skills and talents that you have that were valuable at your workplace. So basically leaving on a positive note. I mean, there are a lot of negative things that might have driven you out of that job, but there's a way to sort of exit in a way that accentuates the positive.
Is a resignation letter still this piece of paper that you hand over? And is that still the thing?
Well, I personally have never written a resignation letter, but but I mean, I think it is a thing, depending on you know what kind of job.
I guess what I'm asking is, how do you make it official? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think you make it official by talking to HR, and in some cases, maybe they do request a resignation letter. I think one thing to keep in mind, again, is, you know, resignation letters are documents that can be preserved. You know, you want to be able to look back on your resignation letter years from now and say, you know, I still stand by that. Or, you know, so keeping it simple is probably a good default mode. You know, there are sort of famous resignation letters that are like mic drop moments, probably in most cases not a great idea. So the resignation letter is not the place to really, again, air your grievances.
How much time should you devote to looking for that new job if you have decided to move on?
Well, I think the standard 2 weeks notice is probably still standard, but I think here, you know, you're in a difficult spot because if you already have a job, then, you know, that new employer might want you as soon as possible. But I think sort of to navigate that process, and again, with keeping in mind that you want to leave your old employer on the best terms possible, you know, I think it's a good idea to say, here's what I'm thinking. How can I ease this transition for you guys? You know, how would you like this to go? So, you know, in some cases that might be more than 2 weeks. You might start training your replacement. If that's not an option, I think, you know, doing the best you can to make your old employer feel as comfortable as they can about your departure and the sort of transition and the handoff. I think that is something that you can do that, again, you know, regardless of the circumstances that led to your departure, can help you in your future job, because, you know, these, again, are people you might run into. I know this has happened to me. People I work with decades ago are I'm working with again. So you can't predict these things, and you have a reputation that you want to maintain, especially if you're going to stay in the same industry.
Talking about the process of leaving a job and what the economy looks like for different sectors as you scroll through the massive job boards, do you think the grass will be greener at a different employer? What is the reason you hope to change jobs? Is it money or flexibility, maybe a new challenge? What do you want to know about turning in that resignation? Join in 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Back after a news update with more conversation with NPR's Yuki Noguchi right here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Just a heads up on our programming plans here. The Senate impeachment trial of President Trump continues today at noon, with the House managers continuing their opening arguments. You can hear live NPR coverage on our News and Classical Network and online at WPR.org. And here on the Ideas Network, we'll keep you up to date and we'll open the conversation to you. Right now, we're at the office with NPR business correspondent Yuki Noguchi. She's been reporting on the right way to quit your job. She's also exploring how to negotiate water cooler chatter around hot-button political issues like the impeachment or 2020 election. And we'll be getting into that territory later this hour. But first, have you quit your job to improve your health and well-being? How did you talk with your family and friends? What did your exit from your job entail? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. And Yuki Noguchi stays with us. Let's take another call now. Mike is joining us from Wauwatosa. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. So I've found from my personal experience that most companies' training is and retraining people is a very large expense. And so when you're in a tight labor market like this, I found it beneficial that if I was thinking about leaving a job to actually go to HR and ask for a significant increase, be it in pay or health benefits or whatever, that would make the job at least tolerable. And even if you get shot down for some of it, but they acquiesce to a portion of it, I found that you'll find yourself in a better financial situation, and then you have a little more time where you can actually go out and search for something that's more fitting. The other thing I've found is that when leaving a job, if there's a manager, if you leave it in good standing, I found it beneficial to get a letter from a manager or supervisor when you leave, because that manager or supervisor that knew you personally may not be there down the road when you have to find another job.
Mike, thanks so much for those tips. Yuki, the first one, really looking for leverage first before getting out.
That's a great point. That's a great point. You know, one of the things that gig work is, as we all know, on the rise. There are a lot more people who are self-employed, and that trend is expected to continue. And the thing that Mike talked about, the sort of training issue, that's something that, you know, is a real benefit to employees who are inside an organization, a full-time employee. You know, gig workers have to sort of retrain themselves, but, you know, in a lot of cases, employers will offer retraining. So I think that's a great idea. You know, sort of keeping your skills up to date is going to help you in any future endeavor. He also mentioned, you know, trying to negotiate higher pay. And I think that is also something because, you know, you can sort of use that as leverage for your next job. And so I think those are all great points. And I think, you know, in terms of gig work, I mean, there's a lot that we can learn from what gig workers do, right? These are people who are self-employed. They have to go get their – they're like a business of one, essentially. So they have to manage their own payroll, their own contracts, you know, and business development, sales, everything. And so, you know, I think there are a lot of people who, when they are considering leaving a job – you know, to Mike's point, they are also developing skills on the side, you know, even if it's not through their employer. So some people will have a full-time job but take on sort of a side hustle and try to, you know, build a client base while they're still working so that when they leave, they will have a client base to go to. And that's something that I also talk to people about, you know. You have to be a little bit careful. Obviously, you don't want to poach clients from your existing employer.
That's right, right.
That can get you in very, you know, hot legal trouble with your employer. But, you know, if you are developing a business, you can. There's a lot of things. You can get that business pretty far down the road before you actually have to quit. You know, you can establish a website. You can incorporate it. You can start building a client base, like I said. And so, you know, these are all things that I think are you know, even more possible today because you have, you know, networking apps. You have, you know, you can leverage your existing network to do that. And the other point that he mentioned is sort of the recommendation issue. And, you know, I think that's a great idea, having, you know, people write recommendations, whether be they on LinkedIn or, you know, or just recommendations that you can keep in your files for any future job. I think that's a great idea.
And, because the office you leave today won't be the same tomorrow. I mean, people change, people, you know, it's continually changing.
Right, right. And, you know, there's always the difficulty if you are in the process of looking for a job, you know, who do you ask to be your reference at your existing job, especially if they are not aware of your job search. You know, these are the kinds of things that workers have to navigate, of course. And if, you know, I mean, I think the advice there is, you know, find the person who best knows your skills and who's most your ally and have them be your reference. But if you're already leaving, like Mike said, and you have a good relationship with your supervisor and they know your work, then having them write a recommendation that you can then keep is a great idea, I think.
Let's bring in Nathan now in Eau Claire with thoughts on this. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I've quit, you know, different jobs and, you know, I've been a working man. I've always been able to find jobs relatively quickly. But I guess my message would be to people is I know it's nervous, you know, quitting a job, but there's lots of opportunity out there and don't be afraid to try new things, right? Cause so like you're not going to find the perfect fit right away, but just don't be nervous. Be okay to try new things. You know what I'm saying? Because there's just a lot of opportunity out there right now.
Be open to the possibility, Yuki.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think there are ways to do that. I mean, like I mentioned gig work earlier. I think, you know, that might be a good opportunity for, you know, developing, you know, trying things out, you know, try it's sort of a way of developing a side hustle in something that you think might be a viable you know, line of work for you and a way of testing that out. And I think, you know, one of the things that I would say is, though, you know, just quitting your job without having a new one is not a recommendation that I would endorse because, you know, of the financial implications. I mean, it is still easier to get a job when you have a job. You know, obviously, financially, it's and from an insurance standpoint, a lot of people, you know, are very concerned about being insured through their employer. So, you know, these are all things that if you can, you know, you need to sort of take inventory of what your financial situation is. And if you have enough of a runway, it's still ideal to have a job and to know that you have something to then go to. But I think you know, he's right that there are a lot of opportunities and it is a good it is a relatively good safe market to try to experiment in things that you are passionate about. I would just say that in doing so, you want to do it in a way that's deliberate and, you know, that takes into account that if that does not work out, that you still have a plan B, a plan C, that kind of thing.
Another thing I hear out of Nathan is that change is hard. Change is scary, but taking the leap, it can be worth it.
Well, certainly. I think that there are, many entrepreneurs you could talk to who take chances. And, you know, it seems far from definite when they're doing so, but that it sort of works out. I think, you know, but I think the point here is to have a plan, to know, take inventory of your insurance situation, your financial situation, your costs. And then, you know, make calculated risk taking, not something that's sort of random. So I think people have opportunity. There are lots of opportunities now to employers, their number one concern right now is finding qualified workers. So I think there are lots of opportunities, but going about it in a way that is more sort of targeted is sort of the challenge for the worker. And so I would say that that's a balancing act. But yeah, I mean, I think we all get into habits where we think that this is the only thing that we can do. And then that's, you know, I think that workers, a lot of them might feel trapped in their job, that they don't have the option of leaving. But I think that to Nathan's point, there are a lot more opportunities than maybe some of us think. And if we go about it smartly, then we can take advantage of that.
Talking with Yuki Noguchi, an NPR business correspondent, about the right way to quit a job. Yuki, David from Milwaukee called in, couldn't stay with us, but says he works for a union building trade, and he used to work for a non-union company and said it was pretty common for them to show employees the door immediately, even if you give them a resignation letter. Can employers technically fire people on the spot, David asks.
Well, yeah, I mean, that depends on sort of the state laws. Is it, you know, right to work state, those kinds of things. But yes, I mean, sometimes if you say that you intend to leave, that timeline might not be up to you. And, you know, those are things that you kind of have to keep in mind when you decide to quit a job, that timeline might not be up to you. And so that's the risk you can take. I mean, you know, I think one of the things that I would say would advise employees to look at before they leave is your company policy, your employee handbook. There might be things in there that you were not aware you were under. So these might include a non-disclosure agreement or a non-compete.
What would a non-compete mean? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So a non-compete is something where you cannot work for a, you know, rival company that's in a similar line of business, say, for a certain period of time. It's something that used to apply to people who, you know, had some proprietary knowledge about the company, right? The way the technology works, or some sort of business system that's unique to your employer. But increasingly, you're seeing non-competes apply to, you know, lower wage workers like fast food workers, which, you know, is a questionable practice, maybe, but is nevertheless something that I think employees need to know about when they leave a job, and to know what their future opportunities look like and how they might be limited.
We have NPR business correspondent Yuki Noguchi with us for the hour as we navigate a range of workplace issues, quitting a job, getting a plan together. Your experience is welcome. 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Yuki Noguchi right here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. We're navigating these tricky workplace situations on how to quit your job on a positive note. What workplace issue are you dealing with regarding leaving your company? How is your mental health at work? Are you charting a plan to leave? Still time for you, your questions, your situation, 800-642-1234. And NPR business correspondent Yuki Noguchi has been reporting on this, and she stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now with Kara joining us from Waukesha. Hi, Kara.
Hi. I just wanted to call and comment and say how peculiar it is that you guys are talking about this subject right now. Basically, about me, I work full-time third shift, and I've been at my company for 5 years. I am also a mother, and my mental health, since I've been on third, has just been kind of going downhill. Things are getting frustrating. It's hard to keep up, and I'm constantly going back and forth in my mind. Should I stay? Should I leave? But, I mean, I make great money. I have great health benefits. I have job security. I'm in a union. This morning, I actually just talked to my production supervisor to see if there was such a thing with our company as, like, a leave of absence or something. I'd be able to take some time off and maybe try something new and test the waters. It's just like a previous caller this morning said, like, yeah, change is scary, and I don't want to lose anything that I have built up so far over these past 5 years.
Kara, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Yuki, as you hear there, her mental health is suffering there on the third shift.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I there are a couple things that Kara mentioned that I want to respond to. I mean, you know, the first thing is it is, you know, with mental health or really any health or safety issue. I mean, some of these things that we were talking about having a plan and having a plan in place before you leave, those don't apply, you know, when you're talking about health or safety issues. So if you're getting sort of harassed at work or, you know, your mental health is really suffering, you know, there are different ways to deal with that than what we've been talking about, I think. You know, she mentioned leave. I mean, you know, mental health is increasingly a very, very big reason why people leave their jobs, especially for young people. And, you know, a recent study showed that 50% of millennials cite mental health as a reason for quitting their jobs. And the younger generation, Gen Z, it's even higher. It's like 75%. So, I mean, it's a very, very common reason that people cite as a reason to leave. Now, you know, what I heard Kara talk about was that she wanted to sort of preserve her options at her existing workplace. And what I would say there is, you know, again, make sure that you're not running afoul of your employer's rules. So you're not violating a non-compete by trying, you know, a side hustle. You know, but also if you are sort of suffering and struggling, you know, mental health is a health condition, and it's one that is, you know, increasingly diagnosed and increasingly common. My modern life is, as we all know, very difficult, and it's hard to juggle a third shift as a mother. I mean, that I can also relate to. So I think I think you know, but framing that in terms of, you know, a need for health reasons is, I think, you know, that's a legitimate reason to take some leave and to understand your company's sick leave policies.
And it sounds like she's starting to look at what those options are to get on that path of improving her well-being. Let's bring in Carrie now in southern Wisconsin. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
What's your situation?
Hello.
Hi. Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that if you enjoy your job and situation at work where management is, you're not getting along with them, and that's the reason that you want to leave, not to rush into it, because that changes too. So I was in a situation where I really enjoyed my job. My management changed, and I was having a very difficult time with my management. But then so I immediately started looking for a new job because I couldn't handle it. But I deployed. So I kind of got lucky where I deployed with the military, and then when I got back, my management was different, and everything was better. So it's just kind of like, if you enjoy your job, really think about it. And then also, again, like you were saying before, don't burn your bridges. if you're not getting along with that management, so you need a change, leave on a good note so that when management does change, you can come back.
Carrie, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, management can change, right? You can sort of wait it out. And I mean, I think, you know, Carrie recognizes that it's not the job, it's the management. And that's what that's something that I keep hearing, right? Is so often people's happiness levels at work are shaped by their manager. And so I think that's a great point, too. You know, that's the point, is you don't want to burn bridges just in case you want to come back, because maybe that workplace or that job is not the problem, but the management itself.
Joe now in Appleton is here. Hi, Joe.
Yeah, hi. I've been a 40-year job career, and I've been fired, and I've also quit jobs. And the piece of advice I have is, no matter what happens, you want to make them feel they want you back if they laid you off. And if you were fired, you always want to make them feel that they were sorry they fired you, because you point out so many positive things that you gained from the job. So writing a letter that simply points out your positive experience, what you learned, and all the things that you gained from the job will help you in the future. You need references. And life is a circle. There's so many people that have circled back that I'm glad I left on a positive note, because they've helped me get jobs in the future, even though they may have fired me. Mm-hmm. Some of my best references have been from bosses who fired me, but we realized the benefits we had working with each other.
Joe, thank you for sharing that. And it gets back to the social networks that you make, Yuki, that your connections, they are there for life.
Yeah, I mean, I think he just summarized the podcast there, which is like, you know, you want to leave on a positive note. You know, like he said, you know, things are cyclical. You might work with these people again. You're going to need references. And even in difficult circumstances where you get fired, you know, for reasons sort of not having to do with your performance, or even if it is, I mean, you want to make the best of that experience. You know, you invested a lot of time, the company invested in you. You want to sort of leave on a positive note. And that, you know, reflects positively on you. And, you know, to his point about the resignation letter, I think, you know, that's something you can stand by years from now. And so I think that's great. That's a great idea as well.
It reminded me, too, what Joe was saying there, making some of the lists of the positive things you like about your job and then the negative things, and really taking that time to chart out what is it that I like about this job and what doesn't work for me.
Yeah, and tamping down sort of the anger or negative frustrations that you feel, and in sort of like, you know, looking back on it, you know, some of those things will fall away. And so when they do, what will you remember about that job? And what, because we all learn from jobs. You know, I think that's also a great point, just sort of personally for yourself, to feel good about embarking on a new journey.
We'll only have about a minute left, Yuki, but I'm wondering, you know, in your reporting, are you sometimes impacted in ways that surprise you? And this particular reporting brought you in touch with people in different circumstances with their job at a time when they may not know what's happening next. What stuck with you?
Well, I think what sticks with me is that, you know, regardless of what kind of job you do or how much you make, you know, we bring a lot of our emotional selves to work, and we put a lot into work. We spend, you know, for a lot of us, most of our waking hours at work. And so it's easy to get very emotional about work and about finding work. And we, you know, it's our livelihood, and we attach so much of our egos to work. But, you know, in terms of, you know, charting a career course, you kind of have to just set that aside a little bit and look at it rationally. You know, what is going to benefit me and my employer, and how am I going to approach this in a way that's level-headed and, you know, just positive, so that, you know, you can move on in the best way possible.
Yuki, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yuki Noguchi is an NPR business correspondent, and she recently reported on the right way to quit your job for NPR's Life Kit podcast. And you can find a link to that podcast on the Morning Show page at WPR.org. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.